Mine's good.
Never on.
Whoa.
Hard.
Come on, Brent.
Mine's good.
Got real close.
Hair high, right?
Trying to hit two thirds.
Have they saved it for her? Yes, they have.
Welcome to Game of Stones, everybody. I am Sean Graham Scott.
Hold on there a minute, Sean. Just 1 second. We've got breaking news in the world of curling. We all saw this past weekend Vic Rauter announcing his retirement. There's nothing else we could talk about this week. With all due respect to Nicholas Adin, still the greatest of all time, we've got an all-time greatest of all-time announcer stepping down. We had to talk about it. Sean's away. But lucky for us, we recorded an episode in 2019 called Oh My, a tribute to Vic Rauter. So what I'm going to do now is transition and play that episode. We'll come back to you a little later on with some talk of the men's worlds, some talk of the Rock League. But for now, nothing more fitting than hearing our tribute to Vic Rauter.
Alongside, as always, hello, Scott.
Sean, that intro was just about as long as your phone call you were just on there. Oh, boy.
So we are here in the nation's capital. Beautiful Monday as we record this after a absolute scorcher of a weekend. There was a heat wave across a lot of the country, Scott.
Yeah, and I'll admit I spent most of the weekend inside.
Yeah, it was an unpleasant experience to be outside. I was standing outside on Saturday, and just the act of standing was causing me to sweat profusely.
Oh, dear. I did go for a little walk Saturday evening just before the storms hit. Got a little wet, but that's all right.
It happens. So, of course, when it's this hot outside, we want to talk about the hottest broadcaster in the world of curling, Scott.
Yeah. Who's that, Sean?
None other than Vic Rauter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we wanted to take an opportunity. We talk about Vic a lot on this show, usually about how Vic hates tiebreakers and how Vic really doesn't like the a bracket with a triple knockout when they did that at the pre-trials 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
All those permutations. Vic does not like those. And we talk about that a little bit in some of the jokes about Vic. But we love Vic Rauter.
We do love Vic Rauter.
And I think that it is undeniable that Vic Rauter is the greatest curling broadcaster of all time.
Yeah, Sean. And I don't think that's up for debate at all. Certainly not here. He was inducted into the Canadian Curling Hall of Fame there in 2006. And as far as I know, maybe Ray Turnbull's in there too.
Yeah.
As a player, not a broadcaster.
Might be there's a broadcaster. Yeah. Don Duguid, maybe.
Okay.
That's the other one, right? It's sort of Vic and Don Duguid, I would say, are the two voices of curling, I would argue, that we've had in this country. But I think Vic, certainly for anybody under the age of 40, Vic is the voice of curling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we wanted to take an opportunity here in the summer to explain why Vic is so good, or at least why for us he is as good as he is. Because there are certain things that Vic does that other people don't do, and people talk a lot about the catchphrases that he has and his willingness to make fun of himself sometimes. But there's really subtle things that Vic Rauter does in a curling broadcast that is so effective and is what makes him such a great voice of curling. So we wanted to just take an opportunity to truly highlight some of those things.
Yeah. Like you say, Sean, I think he does the best job of anybody of pretending to be dumb, but not really being dumb. He's sort of the voice of the everyday curler who's sitting watching at home. He asks the kind of questions that they would be asking, even though he's seen over 100,000 shots of curling,
at least
in his career, that that he knows when to ask the questions, how to ask them, in order to get the response that he wants from his sidekicks.
But what's good about it is that he knows enough. I mean, he's asking questions that he knows the answers to.
Yes.
A lot of times. But what's really impressive about what he does there is how he phrases the questions. It's not a case of, why would you do this? It's usually in the case of, well, it's a draw, and he's like, well, couldn't you hit over here and roll there or do something else? Like, he's throwing out other options usually, and you can tell that he sees the ice really well, and he knows what's going on. He has a sense of the game, but he defers to the people who are next to him, who are there because they know more than him. And that ability to defer in a really effective way while taking the audience with him makes him so relatable.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Sean, I just was reading something that he's called over 500,000
there you go.
Shots of curling in his career. Estimate, you know, an estimate, but pretty close.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of rucks. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that Vic does is the ability to ask questions. The other thing that Vic does that I think is really underrated is his ability to actually call a shot. Like, while the rock is going down the ice in a big moment, he has a knack for making great calls of big shots. We have it on our intro. The shot, it's Rachel Homan against Michelle Inglot in the 10th end, and she has the thin double, and they're sweeping the whole way, and it's called, have they held it for her? Yes, they have. Right? And I can go back to, and if you listen to the call when Kevin Cooey wins the trials, from the hog line in, he pretty much just repeats, you need the 4 foot, you need the 4 foot. When Brad Gushue, the shot to win in St. John's, and the call is something along the lines of, just got to drag it a little further for a Canadian championship. And then he stops talking because the place is going crazy.
Yeah.
But he has an ability to, the Pat Simmons one is another one where he makes a great call. Mm-hmm. He just has this knack in the big moments to say the right thing.
Yeah, and I think that's true of all great broadcasters. You know, you think of, you know, Tom Cheek calling Joe Carter's home run in 1993. You think of Jim Nantz always with the classic lines at the Masters, you know, when Tiger makes the putt. So this is something that's common to all the greatest sports announcers, and we want to make sure that Vic Router is counted amongst those.
Oh, no question. What's different, though, with Vic, I think, than somebody like Jim Nantz, Jim Nantz's lines often feel prepared.
Well, they're corny.
And rehearsed. Like, it doesn't feel as spontaneous. When Vic does it, it feels very spontaneous.
You're right.
Because it's an instant reaction to what's going on. It's not a case of, well, sometimes it is, but like in the biggest moments, he doesn't have time to prepare for what he's going to say because you just don't know what's going to happen. And those are the calls that are the greatest.
Yeah, I think he's got this natural enthusiasm for curling that really comes across on the broadcast and really sets him apart from some of the other broadcasters out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the other thing too about him is curling, we talk a lot about the social aspect of the sport. And I mean, I like to occasionally make fun of some of the video essays that they do at the end of the events.
Yeah.
And how everyone is a saint out there and how it brings out the best of who we are as a country and all that stuff that sometimes I feel it goes a little over the top. But for Vic and his experience that I've had the opportunity to see firsthand a few times, at events, when he's down on the ice before a game, usually before practice, he's usually up in the where they do the set piece before the game. That's during practice. But before practice, when all the players are out there stretching, doing their thing, Vic goes down and he'll circulate.
Yeah,
and it's he's the dean of the sport at that point, and I've never seen a player not smile and extend their hand mm-hmm. to Vic Router, right? They're mm-hmm. excited to talk to him. They enjoy it. He remembers everyone's name,
yeah,
which is incredible to
amazing,
me.
Amazing, yeah.
You know, fifths, coaches, all that. Like, he knows yeah. who they are. And his ability then to interact with the rest of the people at the event, I think for him, when he talks about that these are great people and it shows the best of the country, I think he genuinely believes that, in part because he brings that out of people. And that's been my experience with him, that he just makes people happy.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll piggyback on that and tell a little story of when I was volunteering. I believe this was in Las Vegas. I was volunteering there, and I walked by Vic in the hallway down in the bowels of the stadium, right? And I thought, oh my gosh, it's Vic Router. I better just, you know, lower my head and walk on by. And he made a comment of, hey, how you doing today? Like, and genuinely seemed interested.
Right.
And I said, oh, I'm good. Have a good broadcast up there. And he said, oh, thanks very much. And so even just a volunteer walking around, he had a smile for me and gave me, you know, 5 seconds
yeah.
and made my day
yeah.
by doing that. So yeah, you're right. He's got that little ability to connect with people.
Yeah. And you see it too, like, not that he does it very often, just because of where the booth tends to be at these events. Mm-hmm. But certainly in Vegas was an example that he came out of the booth and people from the stands would flock over to him, those who were still left in the building. And he stood there for 15, 20 minutes
yeah.
signing, talking to people until everyone had enough and sort of left, right? Like,
right.
Like, he wasn't leaving people hanging. And this is after, in Vegas, you know, he's in the middle of a three game day and yeah. he's got to do it. So, like, he really gets it. And, you know, maybe it's just his public face. I hope not. And, but he really does seem like a genuine good guy. And I think that translates then into how you feel as you are watching the broadcast, that even if you've never met Vic Router or seen him in person, he has a personality on, I don't want to say on screen because he's on screen for like 45 seconds, mm-hmm. but as part of the broadcast, he has a personality that is very congenial and brings you in. And it feels not like a broadcast with, say, Gary Thorne, where I feel like I'm being, you know, yelled at and I've done something wrong for 3 hours. Mm. But he brings you in. It feels like you're sitting around with your friends, right? We'll include Cheryl and Russ in this.
Yeah.
And Linda and Ray before that. That there's, it's three friends hanging out watching the game.
Yeah, talking like you would talk at the curling club.
Yeah, but you smarter.
Know? Well, I don't know. You sit behind the glass and you go, oh, that guy's an idiot for doing that.
Well, that's what Mike Harris does.
Yeah, and that's a different thing. I think Vic's voice actually has a lot to do with it. The sort of rich, deep timbre
yes.
That we all strive for here, Sean. But he just
has, like, throaty.
It just has a way of bringing people in and making people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So I think his genuine ability to do that stems from his personality for sure, but a lot from his voice and the way that he speaks. It doesn't feel like you're being assaulted for a long time, and it's not like Buck and Pat where who knows what the hell they're talking about right. for 3 hours. So yeah, I think his voice has a lot to do with it, and it's become synonymous with curling.
Yes.
Vic Router is the voice of curling.
He is. And when TSN got the finals of the Scotties and the Briars, was it within 10, 15 years?
Yeah, back from CBC.
So that happened when I was doing my master's. So 2008-09 was the last time I think CBC had everything. But when it went back to TSN, that really cemented it, because now Vic has the calls of all the biggest moments. If you think of the Jennifer Jones shot in, is it 2000, 2001? When she wins her first one, that in-off.
06, I think.
That's a CBC call, right? Mm-hmm. That's not a Vic Router call in that moment.
That's right.
Because CBC still had it. So now that it's all TSN, he has the big moments as well as being the soundtrack of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So those signature moments he gets as well.
Yeah, so like he's in the middle of all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the championships here for Jennifer Jones and, boy, Scotty's 2005.
2005, okay, yeah. So that great, yeah, that great in-off that she makes against Jen Hanna. Mm-hmm. That shot, yeah, that's a CBC call.
Yeah, exactly. And going back even to watch some of the clips other than that we do sometimes for the show and sometimes just for fun, the CBC, it's different enough that you're kind of like, man, I wish Vic was calling this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, part of that too, for forever was, at least for me, was Linda and Ray too.
Yeah.
That the three of them, I mean, with all due respect to Cheryl and Russ, but Vic, Linda, Ray, I don't know if you can surpass that. That was always great. I will always remember the first draw of the Olympics in Vancouver when Ray Turnbull was like turned up to like level 45. Yeah. Like, he was so psyched to finally have this event going. And the three of them all week were so good. I believe they had to split some draws off that year, but they were so good.
Yeah. And I, of course, went to those Olympics. I didn't get to hear much of them. But listening to the replays, you know, and the highlights, that was sort of the pinnacle for where they wanted to get with curling, I think. I mean, they're still very good now, but with Linda and Ray and Vic there announcing curling at the Olympics in Canada,
yeah,
sort of raised the profile to a place where if they ever thought about going back to, you know, putting the finals on CBC, I think the outrage would be even louder this time.
I think so. Yeah, I agree. So I want to mention one other, I think, very underrated thing that Vic Router does that I absolutely adore is that at the start of every end, where they have the crane shot and sort of swooping down, he will tell you which team has the hammer and what color stones they are throwing. And I love it so much. And I don't know why, because if it's not the first end, I know, like, I've been watching the game and I know who, which color is what, but I love that he does it.
It's
a great way back from commercial.
Yeah. And it's in a way that sort of resets your focus back onto the game. You can say, okay, well, even if your attention drifted for a little bit, you're back into it. If somebody's just joining the broadcast at that point. He resets it a few times in the end, I noticed too, sometimes, right? So yeah, that's a really good thing that he does, and I'm glad you like it. One of the things that I like that he does is saying what curling club everybody's from.
Yes.
Many, many times.
Yes.
In case we forget, the Ballyhaley Country Club.
Yeah. The St. Vital,
the Mayflower back in the days of Colleen Jones. Yeah, he really knows where all of the curling clubs are located.
Yes, pretty much every time they go to a different sheet, whoever is throwing the last rock, he will tell you what curling club they're playing out of.
Eddie McKenzie out of the Charlottetown curling complex.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know which club he has shouted out the most.
You'd have to think St. Vital,
or the one in Edmonton that everyone plays at.
Oh, the Saville Center. Yeah, that's a good choice too.
Yeah, so
everybody's from there.
Yeah, but it's so, I don't know. It's just so, it makes it feel. That's another thing that you certainly don't get that on the slams, but it also makes it feel again like. It connects the viewer somehow to remind, you know, these people aren't playing in Tuesday night mixed rec league.
Right.
Like they're not. Well, Eddie McKenzie might. I don't know. But, you know, you're not. We play at the Ottawa Curling Club. I have not seen any member of Team Home in there playing in a league ever.
No.
Right? In the 3 years that we've been there.
Right.
We've seen them at the club occasionally, but practicing. Right. They don't participate in the leagues. And nor should they.
Right.
But it's sort of this reminder of like, you know, I play at a curling club. They're members of a curling club. And I think sometimes you forget, or at least I have forgotten, that like when you see, say, baseball players or hockey players, wherever, you know, they're practicing. Even the practice facilities that they have are not generally like the facilities that are the public has access to.
Yeah.
But curlers, for them to practice, they have to go to the places where the public has access.
Goes to curl,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Aaron Boys, who I did my PhD with and now we play softball with, he wanted to try curling. First time I ever took him out at the Rideau Curling Club, we were on sheet 3, and on sheets 4 and 5 were team home.
Yes. Yes, he told me about that this week, actually.
So I'm out there trying to, you know, teach this guy who's never been on the ice before basic form and going through all those things. Mm-hmm. Well, these world champions are literally 6 feet away from us.
Yeah.
And I think for Vic shouting out the curling clubs, it's that nice reminder of that this is, at its core, this is a local sport. And, you know, everyone is connected to it in some way.
Absolutely. That's sort of, it keeps it grounded, right? And like you say, hey, I play at a curling club. Maybe I could be on TV one day. I know when I was, you know, a junior player and in my early 20s, I kept thinking, whoa, like, that'd be so cool if I could do that, right? Obviously, I'm not good enough, but no, like, that's sort of like, you're a minor celebrity for the week that you do the Scotties or the Briar.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten to the point where in the game where they're a little higher profile, but I sort of loved having, you know, the not only the curling clubs, but the professions that they used to do back in the day. You know, Glenn Howard, beer store
owner, manager. Yeah.
Manager. So, yeah, those little things sort of keep the game grounded. And I think Vic does a really good job of emphasizing those aspects, certainly during those national championships.
Yeah, I just want to take one quick side note that my favorite curling call of all time, though, is not a Vic Router call.
What?
It is a call from a community broadcaster on Cogeco Local Access Cable, which used to show, they might still show, I don't know, a feature game from the Milton Curling Club. And our parents, of course, used to play at the Milton Curling Club. Yeah. And I was watching it one night, and our dad threw a rock. I believe it was a hit, and he flashed it. And the broadcaster, it could have been Gunnlaugsson, based on the comment. But what he said is, after the flash, he goes, "Now Steve's not going to be too happy with that one." And it's my favorite call of all time. It's just very obvious.
Well, that's just because it's your father. And so, speaking of the Milton Curling Club, we've been remiss in not shouting out the Fergus Curling Club enough recently.
Yes.
Current home of our parents for curling. So the Fergus Curling Club, the season's coming up for next year. If you're looking for a place to curl, you live near Fergus, give the Fergus Curling Club a try.
And if you go to the Fergus Curling Club with your Game of Stone sticker, if you have one, half off all drinks.
Wow, what a deal.
Yeah.
Maybe we should tell them that.
Yeah, half off all drinks before 4 p.m. on Mondays. Lock it down.
Oh, the seniors draw is going to be...
They're going to be loaded.
Writing in, asking for stickers all over the place.
So, one other thing that I do just want to mention real quick with Vic that I really like too is, I mean, we've sort of talked around this and its elements of it, but I want to explicitly state that he doesn't talk down to the audience, and he also tells the truth.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they omit things that I think they should include, like, for example, where Ryan Fry was during the Canada Cup, just as an example.
Yeah.
But he will also say, you know, that's a bad shot. Or when Brad Jacobs was having his little meltdown during the trials in 2017, like, he was very clear, like, this is not good.
Don't like to see that.
Yeah. So he doesn't, he's not patronizing in any way, where I think it could be easy at times to do that, to feel like you're, because he's done it for so long. Yeah. He has so much knowledge. It could feel like he's talking down to the audience, and he never does that. He always brings the audience along, and I never feel as though he's trying to sell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I feel as though, you know, when he talks about, you know, things are great and, you know, this is what the country's all about, I get the sense that he truly believes that, mm-hmm. that he's not trying to spin something for whatever purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. And And that's got a lot to do with his ability to be genuine, right?
Right.
He could easily be talking down to the audience, as you say, because, yeah, he's watched 500,000 curling shots in his career. He knows all about curling. 30 years broadcasting, 33 now. He's 80, yeah. 86, he became the lead broadcaster for TSN Curling. And so you're right. He sort of makes everyone feel comfortable.
Yeah,
and that's what I like best about watching any sports on TV. Like, you know, I turn off Buck and Pat. I can't stand them because I think they're dumb.
Sure.
Vic sometimes will ask dumb questions, but it's in a way to get a smart response. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Russ Howard, you know, we joke about him going like pretty crazy with gear effect and all of his Russ-isms that you can
force him to a deuce.
Forcing him to a deuce. You can play all the drinking games you want, but Vic Router is sort of the glue that keeps that thing from going too far off.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, and I think he was the same with Ray, too.
Yeah.
Right, Ray was a very excitable guy, but he was able, yeah, Vic was able to sort of rein him in.
Yeah.
I also loved when Ray would call him Victor.
Well, Victor.
Thank you, Victor. I it was always great. Actually, and if you go on YouTube too, you can see if you Google or YouTube Ray Turnbull, you can see the last thing they did from Cortina d'Ampezzo, the first time Cooey won the world championship with when Blake McDonald was still on the team way back when, and it's Vic, Linda, and Ray doing a stand up shot after the event. And it's Vic saying his goodbye to Ray and a thank you. And Ray's losing it, Ray.
Yeah.
It sounds like he calls him Rick because he's like choking up. He's saying,
That's a real tearjerker. So you got to be in the right frame of mind to watch that.
So, but you could tell that they were like legitimately friendly with each other.
Yeah.
And really got along. And that comes across in the broadcast. And I think the same is true for the current crew. That they're friendly with each other, and there's no, like, they trust each other, they like each other, and that's why you can sit on a Wednesday night and just sit and watch, even if it's not a good game, you can just sit and watch, and it's comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. I think Vic, he's carrying the load of the broadcaster, in that booth, right? You know, Russ and Cheryl and Linda and Ray were not professional broadcasters.
No.
And with the tutelage of Vic have sort of moved further in that direction. So that's no small feat either, you know. Sort of like Jim Nance with Tony Romo sort of brought him along and helped him become as good as he is now.
Right. Not two Jim Nance shout outs here, Scott.
Hello, friends. Well, Sean, TSN did a top 10 list once of all the best Vic Router. So I think we'll play that now and then we'll come back and talk about it after.
Okay, let's do it.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
A brilliant curling shot in this country needs TSN's Vic Router on the call. Otherwise, it's like a sandwich without the tangy zip of Miracle Whip. Vic puts the personality in broadcast personality, and he's the subject of what could be the greatest top 10 ever. Isn't this special? And definitely a first. Hospitality everywhere has been wonderful, but nowhere has anyone welcomed me by making and carving a Welcome Vic sign.
And it is quick. It is quick. Somebody take it. Don't argue over it. Take it. Drag it back. Drag it back. Unbelievable. Plays it forward. Petrosolino through the middle. Can you get to Petrosolino? Petrosolino. What a goal. Mitchell from the right side cuts it in. Bonbury.
39. Ali says he can still do it. I doubt it. I will do it tonight with Christina Trotmerski in Legion of Sports at 11 o'clock.
The sheep have arrived, the competitors are here, and we are ready for this 1986 Canadian sheep shearing competition.
And the rule is pretty simple. Speed is important, but not that important, because you don't want to go so fast as to cut something off that wasn't supposed to come off.
Vintage Vic from a memorable skins game in 1992.
Watch him fly.
This is Kakinga. He is the dominant gorilla. He is the silverback. There are two other adults. There is a baby. And arriving soon from the Bronx Zoo in New York, four more adults, all considered, of course, lords of the jungle. Heading into day three of play at the Saddle Dome, the question was, who could beat the lords of the ring so far? Alberta and Ontario.
Counting them up at the 2001 Scotties.
Curl up, pump it back, look at that! Count them! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Prince Edward Island and its handshakes.
They talk about 50,000 people a year here on Lake Simcoe and some 5,000 huts, but I don't know. It's got to be something more to this ice fishing for me. Now this is ice fishing. Vic Roeder, TSN, in the ice fishing capital of Canada, Georgina, Ontario.
Hey Vic, come on back in.
I gotta go back. I promised her a dance.
And of course, it's Vic Roeder's signature finish.
Make the final, make the final, make the final. San Francisco 10, Montreal 5.
So... There you go.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
The gorilla thing I do not remember. That is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I think it was from a Kevin Martin, Russ Howard year when the Brier was in Calgary.
Right.
My favorite, Sean, had to have been the 1986 Canadian sheep shearing.
That was great.
Who knew that they had it? Who knew that it was going to be on TSN?
Sure.
And just the absurdity of the like serious Vic Roeder,
right,
with the 1986 Canadian sheep shearing championships, like,
right,
just makes me laugh.
Right. Well, you know, I respect Vic because I think they also approached him to do the milk or the cow milking championship that year, but he held out for the FU sheep shearing money. So, you know, good job there on Vic.
Well done, Vic. Well done.
But what was also great about that is the soccer clip.
Yes.
Of the longer names, almost Italian sounding names. I couldn't really tell.
I think so, yeah.
A lot of vowels in the name. And it's so cool to, when you see it, like, I don't watch F1, but Vic still does a lot of the F1. Yeah. At Canada Summer Games stuff, he would do stuff like soccer. He would do baseball occasionally.
Yeah, the last one there was an Expos broadcast.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not just that Vic is a curling guy. He is, of course, the voice of curling, and that is what he is best known for. But he has a wide array of broadcasting credits.
I think my favorite Vic sport, other than the curling, is when he did bowling
on
TSN. Oh, he was so great with the bowling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they show five-pin bowling, too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Oh, it was definitely good. So... anything else that you want to say about Vic here?
I just want to assure everybody that this is not a incredibly transparent attempt to get Vic Roeder on the show. this is not what that is.
No.
But of course, Vic Roeder is always welcome. I mean, we've declared to a certain degree, like, no players to an extent. You know, other people do that and do it better than we can. Vic, I think we can make an exception for if Vic wants to give us a call. I'm just saying that if Vic wants to give us a call, we could talk to him.
Absolutely. And we are definitely not keeping this episode in the can, looking forward 30 years into the future when Vic's no longer with us.
No.
Because we just love him so much. We want to get this out now.
Yeah.
And hopefully everyone will share their appreciation.
Yeah. Vic gets a lot of love during the season for sure. But I think it's nice to take a chance to, I mean, he's one of the reasons I love curling, mm-hmm, right? And now that we do this curling show, it's a good chance in the summer to really try to, you know, focus in on why he's so good.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. That's our love letter to Vic Roeder here at the end of July. as we start to turn the page. Summer is more than half over in the curling sense. And before you know it, we'll be right back out there on that ice, Scotty.
You got it, Sean, and I can't wait.
So please do, if you have not yet, subscribe to the show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever it is you get the shows. Subscribe, like it, comment. Keeps the show going, lets other people find it. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Game of Stones Pod. You can email the show with any ideas, suggestions, gameofstonespodcast@gmail.com. You can find Scott on Twitter and Instagram at ScottLakesTV. I'm on Twitter at Dr. Shawnee Fever. So thank you for joining us this week. We'll be back with you again
for a men's world recap as well as a Rock League recap.
Until then, keep your brooms on the ice and don't dump that intern.
Make the final!